Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in and feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to BetQL Daily, presented by BetMGM. Eddie Gross, Joe Ostrowski, and Aaron Hawksworth here with you. And joining us now to talk about Game 3 of the NBA Finals is Jason Logan, Senior Industry Analyst at Covers.com. You can follow him on Twitter at CoversJLo. All right, Jason, first off, thank you so much for joining us. I know you're based out in Canada, where the air quality is less to be desired. So thank you for joining us on, I'm sure, what is a scary time, to say the least.
It's a little smoggy.
Yeah, go ahead.
A little smoggy. I'm locked in my basement anyway, so this is nice.
Okay, so clean air, you're good, and you can, nothing will clog up the lungs. That's good. In all seriousness, definitely our thoughts are out to you guys, because I know it's a scary time out there. But as far as Game 3 is concerned, Nuggets are 2.5-point favorites. Miami did pull off a sizable upset in Game 2. Do you feel like, even though it is a series and there are adjustments that Michael Malone and the Nuggets can make, do you feel like that Miami figured something out that they can use to their advantage for the rest of the finals?
I believe that their matchup, their decision to go big and put Kevin Love in there, definitely it allowed them some more flexibility on defense. As we saw in Game 1, when they went small with Caleb Martin out there, you found, you know, guys like Aaron Gordon just getting, you know, 6'4" guards on his back and playing bully ball with Kevin Love in the mix. You know, Denver does like to push, and they like to leak guys out and create mismatches off of those leaks. And because Kevin Love was back there, he and Bam were able to communicate and kind of say, well, I'll take Jokic here and then we'll switch back. And, or I'll take, you know, I can take Gordon. And it didn't allow for Denver to exploit those size mismatches and score those easy kind of back down buckets. That's a big thing. The other big thing for Miami is they have to continue to hit shots. They shot the ball at almost 49% last time, continue to shoot the ball well, despite all season not being a great three-point team, but continue to knock down those threes. They have to score efficiently to force the Nuggets to slow down, inbound the ball on a lot of possessions, and not allow for those transition leaks and those mismatches to kind of get created as they run down the floor. That was one of the big things from last game, is that they did such a good job of communicating and then slowing down Denver and not allowing for those size mismatches to happen. And they also did a great job. You know, they put Butler out on Murray. That chewed up a lot of the space that Murray was able to find in Game 1 just off of those screens and the high handoffs and stuff like that. So, you know, Eric Spoelstra is definitely the edge that Miami has in this. Denver has some built-in edges with the size. They're always going to have the best player on the floor in Nikola Jokic. Then, of course, they have the home court edge as well, too, with the series. Should it go 7 games, they're going to have that final game back in Denver, where it's always tough to play, and they're always fantastic at home. So, you know, it'll be continue to be a chess match tonight, but the big thing for Miami is they just have to continue to hit shots and force Denver to start possessions from the inbound.
Yeah, didn't do that in game one, did it in game two. They end up winning. So the betting market is telling us the scoring is going to drop a little bit here. It's the third. Now, once again, just like last game, the total's dropping, even though it went over in game two. What do you think about this strong opinion, apparently, by the betting market driving this number down to 214.5?
Yeah, if you saw, I mean, both teams shot well, but if you look at Denver's box score, it's kind of misleading. Jokic shot really, really well because they just allowed him to have whatever he wanted, and that was kind of the game plan. He wasn't able to facilitate and get those other guys cooking. If you look at the rest of that starting lineup, I think they only shot like 44% from the field. It wasn't very high. Their bench shot really, really well, and that kind of boosted the way that we thought Denver's offense operated. But if you look at the difference in pace rating between those two, game one and game two, significantly slower in game two because of the way that Miami was able to score and have to force Denver, you know, to inbounds and not play transition and pace like they like. And I think that's what we're seeing with this total coming back to Miami. They see a home court edge. They see Miami continuing to shoot well. And, you know, that offensive efficiency really, really helps them out on defense. So they're expecting another low-paced game. And more adjustments, more defensive adjustments from both sides as they get used to each other.
Miami has been living and dying by the three. Sometimes it's on, sometimes it's not. And obviously they are going to be back home now. What are you expecting in terms of that?
Yeah, it's tough. I've kind of been waiting for the other shoe to drop on this team, at least with their three-point shooting, because of what they were like the 27th best three-point shooting team in the regular season, and now they're shooting what, just south of 40%. I mean, at this point, I think we have to say like they're in rhythm and this is what the Miami Heat are. I don't know if it's going to decline when they come back home, and we see some of their shooters really thrive when they come back home too. Guys like Strauss, he averages two points more per game. Really sees his field goal percentage and his three-point percentage spike when he comes back to Miami and gets to play in South Beach. So I don't know if we're going to see that drop off tonight. Miami obviously has to do a better job of closing out. I thought that was one thing that we saw from them, and Coach Malone talked about that. Their just lack of energy, whether that was just getting up in guys' shorts, you know, communicating off of switches. A lot of guys got lost as Miami players took a step out to the three-point line. And then they were just kind of a step behind on closeouts. They're a long, long team, and that should give them, you know, a built-in benefit of defending the three-point arc. They can always get a hand up in shooter's face, but you know, Miami just outworked them and out-hustled them, and Denver looked like they kind of had rocks in their socks in the last game. Didn't play with the same intensity and the same energy, and it really showed on just those. You know, it's a matter of inches on those closeouts. Like, you have to anticipate. You've got to sprint to your man and get your hand up. And they just weren't doing that.
It's funny you bring up Max Strus, because to me, he offers some real value right now in the most three-pointers made market at 19-1. Currently in the finals, he's 5 behind Gabe Vincent, who's a leader with 9, and then Jamal Murray, Kyle Lowry tied with 5, and then Strus is in 4th position with 4 three-pointers made. But this is largely what he does, is shoot threes. He has one of the higher three-point shooting rates in the NBA, and I'm wondering at 19-1, if this series lasts a while, then he'll have more opportunities to catch up, and maybe he's offering some value for us.
Yeah, like I said, if the next two games are in Miami, he's a guy that thrives at home. You know, he might be a guy that does catch fire. It kind of seems like someone different every single night is coming out. Duncan Robinson had a big game. Even Caleb Martin coming off the bench and having success as well, too. I have a bet on Michael Porter Jr. I got him at plus 380. He's still like plus 360. The volume's there for this guy. He's shooting shots. They're ugly shots. I got to say, his jump shot is just, it looked like a rusty lawn chair when he lets it fly. But, you know, his volume is just there. But he's one of the more frustrated players to bet on at this point. I was very, very high on him entering the series. I went over both game one and game two props. He came up short specifically in game two. Those three-point markets, I think, you know, if Miami is going to pull this off, maybe if you've got like a futures bet on Miami or you'd like Miami in this series, you know, you might want to kind of pile on with someone from the Heat to lead the series in three-pointers, because that is one way that they are beating Denver right now. So
selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Jokic, only 4 assists in game two. That was a major storyline, and Spoelstra did not really want to talk about it in the post-game press conference. No, we're not going to take anything away from Jokic. But that was discussed. Like, hey, are they just going to let him score? Because when he scores 40 or more, they're 0-4 in the playoffs, and that does make a little bit of sense. Tough to bet on the assists at 9.5 when the juice is -150, -160 at a lot of spots. Anything that you're looking at with Jokic, maybe another way around that, rebounds and assists, PRA or anything?
I took the under on his points tonight. I mean, even though he went for 41 last game, like you said, that's kind of not what they want. And he is a guy that has to get the rest of that offense going, at least from the starters. And as I mentioned, the starters did not shoot well from the floor. Jokic played great. He had a lot of easy one-on-one looks. He shot a high percentage. The rest of the starters did not shoot well in game two. And I think what we're going to see is you're going to see Mike Malone run some plays right out of the chute, drawn up plays that they've been working on over the last 2 days that are going to utilize Jokic's passing. And they're going to be set up to get these other guys going. That's such a big role that he has on this team, is energizing those guys. I went back and looked at Jokic, and when he has 10 or more assists, and they're 5-2 when he has less than 10 assists so far in the postseason. But in the regular season, that bigger sample size, they were 14-16 for a team that led the West when he failed to record 10 or more assists. When he did record 10 or more assists, they were like 39-12 or something like that. So he definitely is someone that gets everyone going. I took his under on points. Given the total, this is the lowest total Denver has faced all season, so game script is there for a lower total. Like I said, I expect early on Denver trying to utilize his passing and get those other guys going. Betting Jokic props, under props on anything is scary. But the point projections and the models out there are all short of 30 points. I got him, FanDuel had him 29.5 -125. I went under the 29.5. This is down to 28.5 at most books right now, but most models calling for shorter than 29 points. My number was 26.5 for him. Given kind of what we're going to see in terms of a downtick in pace, I expect Miami to continue to shoot well, so they're not going to have those transition buckets and get up and down and have as many field goal attempts. So just expecting a lower scoring effort from him. you know, 20, I'll take 28 points from him. That's a down night from Jokic.
Right. I know it sounds crazy to say.
Yeah. 28, 10, and 9. What a terrible game.
Yeah, not a big deal. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What other props are you looking at? We were discussing, you know, Jimmy Butler has been knocking on the door of double-doubles. Jamal Murray has a double-double in each of these games so far. Is there anything else props-wise that you have your eye on?
Oh, far too many, honestly. I went under on Murray. Yeah, I went under on Murray, 25.5 minus 106. This was my first bet that I made right away. Seeing what they did when they went back with Kevin Love, they were able to move Jimmy Butler to the perimeter, and the guy is a pest. He's a bug. He's big, so he can fight through screens. He's long, so he can get a hand up on Jamal Murray as well, too, and he just ate up all that space that was there in game one. Murray's three-point shooting, too, declined significantly from home and away, those home and away split, so I don't expect them to have the same success from outside. And all of the player projections out there were short of 26 points. This one has dipped down to 24.5 right now. I was able to, like I said, I grabbed it. It was the first bet I made knowing that Butler was going to be in his shorts all game. And then back to Butler, I went under 7.5 rebounds from him. It's a little pricey, minus 138. However, because he is drawing Murray as a defensive check, he's away from the rim. He's playing the perimeter. He's not around the rim. He's just kind of not in position. And then they've got bigger bodies out there like Kevin Love and Bam that are going to crash the boards and wrangle those rebounds. he had only 4 rebounds in the last game, after he had 7 in the opener. So I just don't think they're making enough of an adjustment here, just with Butler not being in position like he was in that first game, playing, you know, a little more under the rim.
Yeah, I think for him to cover that, it might very well be something where the Nuggets have to get off to a huge lead so that Miami maybe has to play small, and then Butler may be one of the more obvious places to go as far as where those rebounds might be for Miami. Yeah. I'm curious, too, when it comes to live betting this game, we've seen Miami have some fantastic fourth quarter performances. Do you feel like they may have another one in them in game 3 to where if, say, the Nuggets get out to, say, another significant lead, say, at halftime, then maybe there's some value in betting the Heat to win outright?
I mean, yeah, if you know that push is coming, I don't think we're in Golden State third quarter range yet, where it was just all, you know, for a few years there, it was just whatever the spread is for the third quarter, we're taking Golden State. And that was, you know, that was the way people approached it. I mean, they're showing life. They're showing life at home. That crowd is going to be into it. There's no quit in this team either. Like they're going to battle back. They've been in bigger holes already. You're not on the road. You're not facing that grind. So the energy and the legs should be there. I thought their energy and their legs were really there in game 2. They kind of acclimated to the altitude in Denver, and they win the hustle balls. And that's what's going to make the difference come the fourth quarter, are those hustle points, chasing down the 50-50 balls, getting dirty, getting floor burns, those sort of things are definitely going to make the difference for them. So, I mean, they've shown that they can. They've had some pretty slow starts sometimes. But they just have such a, like, there's a really good high net rating for them too in that fourth quarter as well too. So, I mean, it all adds up for them. So it's definitely something to keep an eye on. But again, with live betting, you just kind of want to get the flow of the game. You may have guys in foul trouble. You may have guys dinged up. We're going to see in-game adjustments at halftime before the game, obviously. So, you know, just kind of, you know, see what you see. If you know basketball well enough, you can kind of get a feel for momentum. And if Miami comes out and hits a couple big shots like they have in this series and rallied back, then, you know, maybe jump on that line before it moves.
Jason, with Miami winning one in Denver, stealing a game, happening for the first time in the playoffs, does that change anything for how you think the rest of this is going to go? And also, I love the backdrop. I can make out the helmets. I think those are Jordan's over there. What's next to the Eagles helmet? Is that a claw? What's going on there?
This one here?
Yeah, what is that?
That one? That's the, if you're a Marvel nerd, that's the Infinity Gauntlet.
Oh.
And you can actually wear it and do everything. And I got like some Griffies, and there's some J Kids up here. That's a Jason Witten autograph cleats. So, yeah, I got a couple fun things here.
On the big backdrop. Cowboys fan. I learned that.
And I'm a Cowboys fan. So there's there's this Tony Romo ball and an Emmitt Smith one and stuff like that. So a little mishmash of everything. As far as the series goes, I said five games. I figured Miami would steal one in Miami. But, you know, with the way that they came out in that last game, you know, a six-game series might not be that much of a stretch. I think whether the six-game series is like almost plus 300 right now. So I could see Denver going back home. You know, maybe they split in Miami and then they finish off the series in South Beach and get the party in the Miami, get the party in the Miami club scene.
Good stuff. Jason Logan, senior industry analyst at covers.com. Thank you so much for your time. We greatly appreciate it. This is BetQL Daily presented by BetMGM. We go to the gridiron next.